I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Stands, welcome back to your favorite pop culture academic symposium. We are the pop culture professors.
So true. Smart people, dumb topics forever. We are back finally as a duo in the studio.
Kaylin, it's so crazy that we haven't spoken in months.
Months. The feud is over.
Yeah. Guys, gals, folks, the real reason that the last several weeks there haven't been new episodes with the two of us is because Caitlin and I got into a really heated argument over the holidays.
Yeah.
It's taken a lot of time and the help of some really dedicated professionals, but we finally worked through everything. Caitlin, do you want to admit what you've done or...
No, I'm saving that for Patreon.
Okay.
You can find the gossip on Patreon, but thank you to our guest professors, Chris Lewis, Lauren Ashley Smith.
Incredible.
For getting us through that time, fraught time. But, you know, we're here. We've still taught college classes, have master's degrees. You're teaching college right now. How's it going?
I am. You know, it is continuing to be both the most rewarding and soul-sucking thing, you know, simultaneously. So we love it, but we will be traumatized by it for the rest of our life. That's where I'm at in terms of being a professor.
Oh, I think it sounds good.
Yeah. Does it make you want to get back in the game?
Yeah. Oh, I'll apply on monster.com.
You can just send me your CV. I may be hiring this summer.
I would like to work through Monster. Okay. That's how I feel comfortable.
That's cool.
So teach me more, though. Teach me what is stanning?
Well, here's the complicated thing about stanning. Stanning is when you're an obsessive fan and it's in theory about a particular performer or couple or something, you know, like that. But, you know, for me right now.
Okay. Yeah.
I like remembered that I stan, and this is going to sound crazy. Stay with me. Music.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I know you're probably thinking, Lauren, I thought you said you were over COVID. I thought you said you were okay. And I am for the most part, but I just stands, you know, this, I watch a lot of content every week. Mm-hmm. Like I will, I watch multiple series sometimes at the same time. I stay up all night. I've been trying to sleep more and yeah, it's crazy. And in part of my efforts to get better sleep hygiene, I've been not watching as much TV. So I've been listening to a lot of music and it's so fun.
You love music.
I love music. And, you know, I've been particularly hanging out with my good old friend, Kate Nash. Forgot how much I love Kate Nash.
Great one.
And I forgot how much I love Missy Elliott.
You can never forget.
You know, I'm rediscovering so many friends that have always been there for me. And I forget sometimes that I have this amazing choir of support behind me. So right now, this week, I'm standing the concept and enjoyment of music.
Wow. Music. Music is undefeated. Music is tops. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So how unhinged are you this week? What are you standing this week?
I'm unhinged, but just in our normal way, I'd say. Yeah. And I have a specific to hit you with.
Okay, great.
And I often wonder if our listeners are like, I wonder when Caitlin is on a crash course to like this. You know, like if we haven't mentioned something yet, I always wonder if they're like, wonder when they're going to find out that's streaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for me, this came in the show called Below Deck Mediterranean. Woo! Became invested. And you guys know I'm a Bravo-holic. I've been that, but just never am familiar with the big names of the Below Deck world. Never really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Love the med. And here's what's weird when you become a stan late, like after other people, and then you look online to see what people's opinions are.
Mm.
Oh, and then you're off. Because I watch Below Deck Med and I love Captain Sandy. I'm living and dying for her. I would like for her to take me on as a mentee. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I don't really do any boat jobs, but what if now I'm finding out online, she's like kind of an antagonist in a lot of people's minds. And I was shocked.
Wow.
And it was really been upsetting. So I'm working through that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I have something that might help you feel a little bit better.
Hmm. What is?
A 5-star review that just came in.
Oh my gosh. We stand 5-star reviews. That's a funny thing.
Well, this one comes to us from Jojo Bells. And Jojo Bells says, the hosts are so witty and quick. Truly a smart show about dumb topics. Thank you to Lauren and Caitlin for your service during these difficult times. So, Caitlin, all of these hours you're putting into your intense viewing of Below Deck, that's first responder shit. So,
that must be why I've gotten COVID twice. Mm-hmm. And
that's why.
Truly, thank you, Jojo Bells, for articulating it as your service. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, you are welcome. And it is our honor.
You know what our other honor is?
To have today's guest with us.
Yeah, today's guest is an absolute honor, an absolute treat. And you're going to be absolutely tickled by their brilliance and charm. Please welcome.
And Victoria Clark.
Hello. Thank you for having me on this wonderful podcast.
Oh my gosh. Already just so charming. Listen to that voice.
She's already doing it. She's part of the service. And we are talking about a topic today, just to jump right into it. My gosh, I am so excited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've not done many that are so specific as this, that speak to so many things. And we were talking about the actor, the performer, the genius, Matt Berry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we usually give our listeners the credits of like why we are, you know, uniquely experienced to speak on this. And I think you may be our most credited guest of all time. Do you want to speak about your journey with Matt Berry?
Yes. I was just going to say, I'm really glad I'm here for this one because, yes, this is right up my alley. I write at vulture.com and I contribute to a column myself and my cohort, Catherine Van Arendonk, We write a column called Vulture Bets on Barry, where we think of jobs that we would like to have Matt Barry do, roles we would like to see him play, cruise ships we'd like to see him own, things like that. And we put that out into the world and we wait for, I don't know, things to come back besides comments. So like recently he was cast in an FX miniseries of Great Expectations.
Yes. And yep.
Might be speaking on that.
I don't want to say that's because of us, but it's because of us.
Is. So yes, you are powerful.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. You probably are our guest that has the most actual credentials.
Really, really,
you know. Thank you.
Well, and I just want to be really honest. Like when we've been talking about like, oh, what should we ask Anne to do? Like we've talked about wanting to have you on the pod for a while. And then Caitlin was like, oh my God, we should talk about Matt Barry. And I got excited because this week I don't feel like the professor. I feel like I'm going to be the student. Like I feel really excited to be here to learn from you today and to walk away a better Stan. Like I really respect his work. I enjoy everything I've ever seen, but I feel like I have a lot of learning to do. So I'm just really thankful to be here in this educational space today and to be under your tutelage, to be honest.
Right. Well, my credit is also an apology. So it's kind of a weird one this week as well. I need to apologize to the show, The IT Crowd, because I was watching it and I was enjoying it. This is 10, 12 years ago. Who can say when time is? And I really liked the first boss they had, who's played by Chris Morris, who was wonderful. Nothing against Chris Morris. But I was loving him. And I was like, well, who are they going to bring in to be this boss now that the other guy left? It's going to be some schlub. He's not going to be funny. Mm-hmm. And then it was Matt Barry. And wow. Okay. Oops.
The world was never the same, if I'm being honest.
My world was never the same. And I want to apologize to the T crowd. Again, nothing against Chris Morris. He is wonderful, in fact. But that feeling, you know, when you're in doubt, folks, when you're in pop culture doubt, you don't know. A brighter star could be coming for you. So I've been a Matt Barry stan since then, have really sought out things, though I realized also I've not seen everything I thought I had. So there's so much here.
For a niche topic, it is quite expansive.
Yes.
He is someone who, and this is part of what fuels my stanning. I don't know how deep you want me to go into this right now.
Please.
Get deep.
So I kind of compare my enthusiasm for Matt Barry to my relationship with cats because he's an artist that constantly surprises you and he has a lot of mystery to him. Like he does all kinds of different things and you kind of have to find it on your own. But at the same time, he doesn't necessarily want you to. He doesn't necessarily want you to stan him. Like he's very reluctant with his persona as a celebrity. And yeah, so I compare it to a house cat.
That's a great point. I think that's brilliant. And I that's a great point that I had anxiety preparing for this episode because I was like, you know, he's really kept it cool. He has not been a true celeb yet. I get worried, you know, I have anxiety about what's going to happen when that moment comes. Is it going to change him? Is he going to date someone we don't approve of? Like there's just so many things that are possible. And it's, right now we're doing great, but like what's the future? This must be what it's like to be a parent. It's just to be a Matt Barry stan.
You know, as a Matt Barry stan, I'm sure there have been times when you have encountered people who are like, who? Right? So for someone listening to the podcast who are going, wait a second, what am I listening to? Who are we talking about? Like, how do you and hook someone who's not already in the stand-up and get them as quickly on board to become a Matt Barry stan as possible?
That's a good question. I would say that what we do in the shadows is, I think, actually an excellent entry point because it is what I would call peak Matt Barry. Like, I think the character of Laszlo, even if you just watch a clip of him, you will immediately understand what this is about. And again, like, I can't overstate how fun it is to stan someone who does not want to be stanned. It makes me feel righteous. It makes me feel, you know, like back in the day when like we were in like high school or middle school and it was like a big deal to like know a band that nobody else really knew about.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like that a little bit. It kind of it's got an exclusivity to it. You know, it's like, if you know, you know. If you don't know, I'm sorry for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. You know, I think that we should just jump into number one, which you know, it's called Very Berry. And the game is simple. I'm going to play an audio clip of a Matt Berry character, and you're going to give me the character's name. These go from easier to harder. I think you're going to do great.
I hope I do great. Otherwise, I will have to leave town in shame.
Yep. Those are the stakes.
The nice thing is, though, we do have a bus ticket for you if you do fail.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you know what? We'll also help with the moving costs.
Okay. Is it the megabus? Is it like a bus with Wi-Fi, or is it just like...
There is Wi-Fi. There is Wi-Fi.
It might work. But, it might not.
But yeah. I was going to say it, but it's off of the driver's hotspot on his phone. So.
I appreciate
and
that.
The battery is running out. He doesn't have a charger. Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's get number one.
After all that nonsense on Staten Island, I cut loose to Pennsylvania because it sounded like Transylvania. And we all know that sounds cool. I infiltrated the township posing as your average American Yankee Doodle dandy. And I took over Lucky Brew's Bar and Grill. The previous owner, he mysteriously disappeared because I killed him. Drinks on the house!
Oh, that is Laszlo Cravensworth from What We Do in the Shadows as Jackie Daytona.
Exactly. Mm. You got both names. Both
thank you,
names.
Thank you.
Such a funny episode.
Ugh, the best.
What We Do in the Shadows.
It's a good thing the show came out after I was no longer on the indie improv scene, because I would have had a team called Jackie Daytona. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
You'd have been fighting for that name, though. On improvteams.com, there would have been like...
You better bet your ass, the second I saw that episode, I would have been on newyorkimprovteams.com. I wouldn't have even had anyone else. I would have claimed that name ASAP.
I kind of wish that had been so.
I know.
You know... This is another great Matt Berry moment, too, because I love the movie What We Do in the Shadows, which he was not in. And I was definitely nervous hearing there was going to be a show.
Oh,
definitely nervous. And then it's great. Wow.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. It's great.
It is.
All right. I'm excited to hear the next clip.
I am, too.
That was a little bit too far the other way. A bit too jolly. Yeah, why don't you just try a few more times?
Fire the nuclear weapons! Fire the nuclear weapons! Fire the nuclear weapons! Fire the nuclear weapons! Fire the nuclear weapons!
Okay, that is Stephen Toast doing one of his famous voiceovers with Clem Fandango.
Yes.
I have to say, if you are a fan of Toast or Matt Berry in general, there's an audiobook called Toast on Toast that's written by Arthur Meyer, who's the writer for one of the main writers for Toast. And it's read by Matt Berry. And it is the funniest thing I've ever listened to. This is going to sound weird, but I actually haven't finished it yet, because sometimes if I really, really love something, I'll refuse to finish it because I'm like, I'm going to need this someday. I'm going to need this to pull me out of something.
Yeah, I totally get that. That's amazing.
I've made it through about 2/3 of it, but it is... the funniest audiobook I've ever heard.
Oh, we're learning. She's teaching us.
I knew I would be a better person by the end of this episode.
Exactly like we wanted. All right.
I love being given homework. Give me reading assignments.
Oh, yeah.
Unhappy priest, where is your God? Where is your God now? Here lies a great man. A great man! Father!
That was Douglas Renholm in the IT crowd barging into his father's funeral to fight a priest. I have to say, I love listening to these with no video because you really start to appreciate all the grunting and moaning he does.
Yes. It seems exhausting having his parts. Yes.
That
is his first scene in the IT crowd as he enters to...
I never appreciated the grunting he does when he's like running down the aisle of that church and he's like,
yeah, IT crowd is kind of weird where like it's mostly a multicam, but they have some of these single cam scenes, but they still have a laugh track and it's a little bizarre.
It is.
Still love it. Still love it. All right. She's killing it, folks. She's 3 out of 3. Let's hit number 4.
I need you to punch me in the chest, boy.
Punch you in the...
My jam tart stopped. Come on, you Wally.
All right. That's Detective Inspector Rabbit from Year of the Rabbit.
Nailed.
A very underappreciated Matt Berry chapter of his canon that did not get a season two, and I was pretty upset about that.
No, yes. In my research, it seems like it is unlikely to. Yeah, I love it. I love
it's
it.
It's a great show.
Nothing much to say. Great.
No, it's just a wonderful show.
This might be the ultimate Stan episode where we just go, I like it.
Yeah. It is. I mean, we can parse the complicated legacy of the IT crowd if you'd like to go into some muckier stuff. But I mean, I want to clarify, none of that is stuff I hold Matt Berry responsible for.
That's the thing. You can't. It just washes right off him.
It does.
All right. So she's 4 out of 4. We got one left.
I'm excited.
We'll see.
100%.
Turn around, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you more tonight. And I need you more than ever. And you'll only be making it right. We'll be holding on forever.
All right.
Okay. That is the Mighty Boosh.
Yes.
I cannot remember his character's name in that, other than that he's a zookeeper and he has like curly gray hair, but I'm ashamed right now that I can't remember the name of this character.
His name in the show is Dixon Bainbridge.
Dixon Bainbridge. I should have known that.
But we'll count it. We'll count it. She killed it.
Mighty Boosh was complicated and kooky.
Yes.
Sometimes a gorilla can talk. Other times, no. I have to say, his character names, which he's not 1,000% responsible for, some of them he created, but they're probably the best character names I've ever read in my life. You have Laszlo Cravensworth as Jackie Daytona, Stephen Toast, Douglas Runholm, Detective Inspector Rabbit, and Dixon Bainbridge.
I mean, yes. Well, I feel like a lot of actors actually kind of have this in creative types. He has a little dyslexia. And so he's talked in interviews before, actually an interview Catherine did with him. He talked about how, you know, when he reads people's names, he often scrambles the letters. And that's where a lot of the ideas for character names come from, especially in Toast.
I love that. You know?
Wow.
That's so cool. He's cool.
He is very cool.
He just gets cooler. He just keeps getting cooler. Well, I think we got to take a quick break because Matt Berry's so cool. I got to go turn the heat on. So we'll be right back.
Together. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I crank the heat up, and we're ready to jump back into the Matt Berry stand fire. I don't know.
It'll get hotter.
Okay.
Wow.
I was trying something out, you know. Caitlin,
yeah.
Speaking of trying things out, you were really inspired by recent news concerning Matt Berry, and I know you're very excited to get Anne's take on this. So
absolutely, yeah.
I think it's time for your thesis.
Yes. So Anne has already mentioned that Matt Berry was cast because of Anne's work in Great Expectations as Mr. Pumblechuck. The series is also going to have Olivia Colman. It's obviously going to be amazing. But that made me think, like, we need to see him in more classic literature roles. Mm. So I have identified a number of parts that I think that he would kill. And we're going to look at these. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you guys, which one do we feel is getting him that Oscar?
Okay.
So this is which class literature part will get Matt Berry an Oscar. And we're going to start off with an obvious role for him, considered one of the most difficult roles in all of theater and one of the greatest characters of all time, Falstaff. From Shakespeare's Henry the Fourth, Parts 1 and 2. Falstaff is the mentor to a young Prince Hal, a jocular character, a complicated man. This is good, though, too, because I think, and by the way, this is a film version, so, because we're getting the Oscar. There's obviously been a lot of theater actors have taken on this role and made it their own. There's no real iconic film of Henry the Fourth. I don't think, Lauren, I would lean on you. Maybe you would know more about that. I looked into it. I didn't see one. They've done one somewhat recently in BBC, but there is no film actor who is Falstaff, I think. I think
that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So this would be a supporting actor, obviously, but it's so big. You never know. It could balloon into a best actor thing. We don't know. Okay. Secondly, Prince Bolkonski in War and Peace. So this is an older character than he is. And I mean the older one, there's two. So he's sort of, if you're not like me and haven't been reading War and Peace steadily since 2020 and still haven't finished it, he's a misanthropic character who is seeing the world change, but is very sharp. But the sharpness of his mind is closing in on him, and he sort of only has his daughter and controlling her to feel the power he once felt. Darker role, maybe, than we've seen Mark Berry do, recently played by Jim Broadbent in a BBC version that had Gillian Anderson, which I actually think that's pretty dark for a Jim Broadbent role, too. Interesting. Okay. Now, then I was thinking, we haven't seen him, other than maybe in What We Do in the Shadows, romantic lead, really. And that feels like that's so inside him. And to Anne's point earlier, like, stand in a way that he doesn't want to be stand. Like, how can we see that on screen? I'm thinking Heathcliff in Wuthering Heights. Again, dark, problematic.
Okay.
The least. I mean, problematic probably isn't the word. But could he do it? I think yes. Now, then I was like, wow, I've only thought of non-American texts. What could he do? And strangely, because every time I think, when they adapt non-English language books such as War and Peace, they tend to just do them in British accents anyway. Like, they just make them British. So only American pieces of literature can be done in an American accent. And I was thinking, okay, what's a great piece of American literature that Matt Berry could tackle? And then, you know, I was like thinking about Anne, because I'm like, if Anne is a stan of Matt Berry, like, what are we seeing? Like, what is an Anne that we could see Matt Berry do? And I was like, being Nebraskan. So what about Matt Berry as Jim in My Antonia? Now, It has no great film version either. Apparently it had a 1995 made for TV movie. But Maya Tania is the story of a orphaned white kid from the East Coast who moves to Nebraska alongside Antonia, the Czech immigrant, and they grow up and have lives. The story of different points of view in America, different ways to immigrate. There is no great movie of this, and I suspect I have reasons why this is probably hard to adapt, but I'm so curious if he can do that sort of like quiet, like keep everything that's Matt Berry, but keep it right here. I'm curious if it could work. I think it could. Now, the fifth one is insane. What if they redid Interview with the Vampire and he plays Lestat? Let me tell you why this works. Now, some of you might say, no, that's too much vampire stuff. And I say, well, no, it's not. So that answers that qualm. And Anne Rice did end up liking the Interview with the Vampire movie, but she was very, very skeptical of both the leads, especially Tom Cruise. She really did not like his casting, and she wanted someone, I think, that felt the way Matt Berry can feel, more feral, more earthy than Tom Cruise ever could. So let's see his Lestat. Now, then I think maybe we see the musical one.
Okay. I'm going to let Anne respond first, but I have.
Okay. So I will say feelings. Those are my five nominations. You know, you can tell me which one would he be nominated for an Oscar, win it, which one just shouldn't be made. And that's okay. You know, these are ideas. I am his agent.
Yes. I think I'm really excited by the Maya Antonia idea because mm-hmm. I actually just finished rereading that book and I love it. God. I'm a huge Willa Cather
fan.
Didn't
even know that. I just read you.
You did. I do feel like for him to play Jim, it would maybe have to be more of a narrator role than a physical role because of his age. But
Yeah. No, but that's kind of what I'm thinking, right? Because it is from his perspective. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm even more excited, I have to be honest, about the Lestat idea because.
Yes, the best idea.
That is, I actually just finished rereading Interview with the Vampire as well and started reading The Vampire Lestat, which I'm not all the way through yet. But now that you say it, that makes perfect sense because Lestat, in The Vampire Lestat becomes like a rock star. Like he's in a band that he weasels his way into because he hears them rehearsing above his grave. And so he like comes out and is like, I'm going to be your, like, basically kind of hypnotizes them into letting him in the band. And that's just such a perfect thing that I would love to see him do. Cause you're right. It's like a chaotic role. It's a guy who's a narcissist and he's loose, you know, in a way that Tom Cruise couldn't have been in that movie because he's too pretty.
Yep.
Like it takes so much work to be that pretty. No one believes that you're
so much
loose
work.
when you look that good. So I think I'd have to go with Lestat.
So here's the thing. I'm with you, Anne, on the whole Lestat of it all, but with a twist. I am a moderate fan of the Lestat musical. It had a lot of issues. What I think would fix it is if it was approached from a more comedic stance, right? Like, I think like trying to make Lestat into an earnest Broadway musical, it was never going to work because it just like, it needs to be more camped up. It needs to sort of be tongue in cheek and he would do it so well. So I'm going to say this isn't how he gets his Oscar, but it is how he gets his Olivier Award and it does transfer to Broadway and he does get a Tony. And I think it would be absolutely iconic. And, you know, they might talk about doing a film adaptation, but I think Netflix has proved that movie musicals are hard and people don't necessarily want them right now.
Wow. The prom really hurt you in a way.
They've released some data to suggest that it's not just the prom. They're having a hard time with viewership. So I don't know if we want Matt Berry doing that.
Even for Tick Tick. Boom.
Did they do Diana the musical as well on Netflix?
Oh yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I think I don't know that as his agents we want him to necessarily do the movie version, but we do want him to do the stage show, earn those accolades, and get him one step closer to EGOTing.
Okay.
Which
I was. Yeah,
I Yeah, which I think he is capable of and will do. And personally, if I had to choose one of the other roles to get the Oscar, I would choose Heathcliff, and Now I Cede the Rest of My Time.
Okay, thank you.
I do like the idea of Heathcliff. I feel like we are definitely missing like a romantic lead for him. So I do like that as well.
I agree. And I think that's missing out on, again, like a certain kind of sexuality that like Hollywood doesn't recognize that there is an audience for.
Yeah, there's an audience for people who want to see men in their late 40s romance a woman of similar age, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's what I would like.
I think what is sexy about Matt Berry is he just seems to feel things very deeply. Like, that's like, of course, he could be acting. It might not be him, but that's the characters. And they're,
yeah.
I think he could do it for sure.
Well, yeah, because it's always interesting when you notice a celebrity who seems to be smart in like a basic way, you know.
You're exactly right that it's noticeable.
Like, you're like, oh, I want to see this person do other stuff because they clearly have a brain that works, and that's really cool.
Right. And you know, that going back to my anxieties about Matt Berry, when I see a Matt Berry project, I now assume it will be good. And that is so dangerous, because first of all, we should all be allowed to fail, but I'm not going to let him fail.
No.
And the good news is that Anne and the team at Vulture, they're out there doing the work. They're keeping eyes on him at all times.
It's true. They're sending messages to him.
Yeah. Also, again, he does not want to be doing any of this. So if he's in something, right, it's because it either is really good, or he's friends with the people making it, or they're offering him like a stupid amount of money, which I have not seen that. Other than the Advil commercial, I haven't really seen an evidence of that happening so much.
But even his cash grabby things, looking at his Wikipedia, are just better done. Like, he's done multiple SpongeBob movies as a voice actor. And it's like,
oh, yes,
that's fun. People respect Bob and his work. And it's, there's no harm. There's no harm responding to Bob and Patrick, et cetera.
It's kind of genius the way he's hacked that to be like, I'm going to make money like I'm in huge movies, but I'm not going to be in the huge movies. I'm going to do the voice so that people will leave me alone.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, okay. I think we're all convinced he's going to EGOT.
I mean, I actually didn't even specifically think about that way, but it's so obvious now. What Anna's told us about this audiobook, we got a Grammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tony you outlined. Oscar.
I'm shocked and horrified I didn't know there was a Lestat musical, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's got now one I have to find really it. Good song.
Ooh. That's all you need, right?
That's all.
You just need one big first act number, and the rest can be okay.
I'm sad for Anne Rice that she probably never knew who Matt Berry was.
Yeah.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm sad for her for a lot of reasons.
That could have helped her maybe not become a conservative kook at the end of her life.
Wait, I didn't realize she did that. Oh,
yeah.
No.
It's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, she has a lot of layers. Some are wonderful.
Well, speaking of layers, I think it's time to play another game.
I think, Lauren, you've created one of the most important games in the history of human civilization.
Wow, thank you.
So please.
You know, I wanted to bring up another Matthew that of note, and that is Matthew Perry, in so much as I've created a game called Berry or Perry. And what I've done is, thanks to IMDb, I have collected a bunch of different quotes, not from their work, but from them in interviews. And I'm going to ask you, Anne, to guess if I have read a Berry or Perry quote, which Matthew said it.
I think I'm going to kill it at this in a way that's like embarrassing, but I'm so excited.
I'm so pumped. Also, because I use IMDb, it doesn't cite where it came from, and I'm just really hoping that at least one of these was from an interview you or one of your coworkers was part of. All right, here we go. Berry or Perry. First one. I learned to fall down early in life. I was like 6 because I realized it was a way to make girls laugh.
That's Perry.
It's absolutely Perry.
Matt Berry would never say such a thing in public.
Thank you. All right. Next quote. I just find anyone who's arrogant and pompous is always the funniest for me.
That's Barry.
Iconic. 2 for 2.
She's killing it.
All right. Here we go. There just aren't enough hours in the day. I've got a lot of things that I want to do and those that I can do. I'm going to make sure that I do.
I think that's Barry.
It is Barry.
Okay.
crushing it.
She's on fire.
Will she keep the streak up with this next one? I gravitate towards sort of broken characters who try to be better people.
I think that's Perry.
It is, but is that true?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
I'm trying to think of characters he's played recently, and I'm like, I don't even know.
No, I have no idea. He's talking about Fools Rush In. That's the only movie he remembers.
Yeah, really.
All right, this next one is, I can't think of anything worse than to be stuck in something that I've already lost interest in.
Oh, that's Barry.
Absolutely.
Well, that's classic.
That one did feel like it could be either of them.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. One would be talking about a lived experience that they had in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is one of my favorites. If you're bored and you look bored, that's your fault.
I think that's Perry.
It's Barry.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Her perfect streak.
Oh, it was Barry. This kills me.
I have been thinking about getting this on a sweatshirt and wearing it to my classes.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. And I'm shocked I didn't know that one. Oh, my God.
Listen, there's a lot of them. You're going to redeem yourself.
Okay.
Probably with this next quote, which is, I need a woman to have a quirky sense of humor. There's a bunch of jokes I use, and if she doesn't get them, she's probably not for me.
Yeah, that's Perry.
It's absolutely. This man talking about women in like every interview he does. What are we doing? Yeah. Okay. No. Another one of my favorite quotes I found. I think there's a chance that aliens might just see us as beef cattle. So that's us done. Whether they would inhabit us in that way is pretty fanciful because they'd probably just get from us what they could. And then I just see us as fast food.
That's got to be Barry, right?
It's absolutely Barry. And I have no context for why this was said or where it was said. And I just love it.
I mean, that sounds like young Rich Fulch hanging out with Rich Fulcher era Barry.
Mm-hmm. Well, so good. All right. In high school, there was a group of cool kids and a group of really dorky kids. And I was probably the coolest of the really dorky kids.
See, that's Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the American high school reference.
Yeah.
Right. I cheated.
Mm-hmm. It's such a it's what a person who's actually always been popular would claim to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a total lie, but
I love it. All right. I find the fact that my voice has been heard all over the world more insane than anything else.
That's Barry.
It is.
That's Barry. That's my show I'm writing. That's Barry.
All right. With all my roles, I just keep playing myself.
I think that's Perry.
It is.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder about the broken character comment trying to be good earlier.
Right. Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
We have just two left. This one is, I tell my teenage self he did the right thing, never getting a proper job.
Barry.
Absolutely. All right, here's your final quote. Is it Barry or Perry that said, if your catchphrase has appeared in men's toilets, then you know you've made it.
Perry.
No, Barry. No.
I should have gotten that one. Oh, I'm furious.
Oh my gosh.
I got too eager and like, but mm-hmm, the wording mm-hmm. of it and everything, I'm like, yes, that's
absolutely iconic.
Also, it was probably for Yes, I Can Hear You, Clem Fandango.
Yeah. Mm. Probably. Well, and you did an iconic job. It's clear that you know your
absolutely.
Guy. You know Barry. And you get Perry. And thank you so much for playing Barry or Perry.
Of course.
We're going to take a quick break. But when we get back, I plan to channel Anne's powers for good. Together. All right, we are back, and apparently I'm suffering from memory loss, but Caitlin, you were during the break trying to jog my memory about the origins of Barry or Perry.
Yes. Well, I don't know the direct origins exactly because you thought of it, but I think deep in your brain, it's because if you remember when we were doing a planning session for the podcast We Stand Together that you're listening to right now, I think you said, let's have Anne on. And I said, we could talk about Matt Berry. And you said, or What We Do in the Shadows. And I said, yeah, I just said Matt Berry. And you said, oh, I thought you said Matt Perry. So I was just going to move on and pretend you didn't say it. Which taught me a lot about how you interact with me. I also like that you think I call Matthew Perry Matt Perry sometimes.
I forgot that happened. That's absolutely was buried and I forgot about it. That's absolutely why this happened.
Ooh. You were
I would have been honored to have been invited on a Matt Perry episode as well, even though I know far less about him.
You would have really stretched the concept of this podcast because...
Now I remember. Now I remember.
I like to think that we could do an hour on almost anything. He would push it for me.
I just remember thinking, why would Caitlin ask Anne to do that when Anne has so many other
Matt
better...
Perry. No, Matt Perry, one-sixth of Friends, also Fool's Russian, some other shows.
Are there, can I ask, since you're the experts, are there Friends stands? Have you come across Friends stands?
Yeah, we did an episode. We interviewed some.
I'll have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're out there.
There are Friends stands. There's definitely Jennifer Aniston stands.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there are Matt Perry stands.
I will say, I think his stand-up is the smallest of all of them. Because you got the Courtney Cox stands mostly through Scream and Cougar. Right. And she picked up some from Cougartown. And then Lisa Kudrow has the comeback. So people
obviously
are standing her.
Say no more.
And then you got, what's the show that Joey did? His Matt LeBlanc.
Episodes. People love.
People have a deeper episodes. Respect. Yeah, people love episodes. And then, you know, David Schwimmer...
aged well.
Yeah, good. Well, and he's adjacent to Jen. So, like, people are always shipping him and Jen. Like, the Ross Rachel of it all. But Matthew? I think he's just Matthew's, lucky he was there.
Yeah, I feel like Matthew's the one that we as a nation just collectively kind of worry about.
For sure. Absolutely.
Oh, I hope you're okay.
And did you know his stepdad is one of the Dateline hosts?
No, I have no idea.
which feels like that's going to be... bad.
Yeah.
But they have to do a Dateline about.
Uh-oh.
Oof. Well, you know what? Let's talk about something happier.
Yeah. Let's talk about Matt Berry. Lauren, you have a wonderful thesis for us this week.
Yes. Thank you so much. So, and because I know what a direct impact your writing has on Matt's career, I wanted to use today's episode to manifest something. And this is actually, has already kind of come up in the episode. But the fact that Matt has not yet been the lead in a romantic comedy, for me, is personally upsetting. And, you know, we just sort of decided to embrace this episode with the sub game of, like, wishful thinking for stuff we want to see Matt Berry in. And so today I'm going to present to you not only the thesis statement that he needs to do a romantic comedy, but I have a very specific pitch for how he should enter the world. And as the number one Matt Berry expert, I want to get your take on the pitch. Because a little bit before I give you the pitch, just a little bit about my thought process. Now, this is probably inspired by the fact that, you know, on Valentine's Day weekend, I was homesick with COVID and I did watch literally every romantic comedy probably ever made. I mean, we're talking everything from Marry Me to Kate and Leopold. And I started to think about, like, as I often do, but I was checking back in with myself, being like, what makes my favorite rom-coms my favorite rom-coms? And I was thinking about ones that I've seen more recently that stand out. And one of them is the movie The Long Shot with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, where she's running for office and Seth Rogen's kind of like the schlubby speechwriter or whatever, and they fall in love. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, that's sort of the realm of romantic comedy I'm looking for from Matt Berry. Like, obviously a comedic role, but with a little bit more substance to it than maybe your typical romantic comedy. So I was trying to think of a storyline for Matt Berry to really bite his teeth into. And I was thinking, because I also watched The Holiday. I was thinking about Jude Law and The Holiday and how his whole storyline is like a widower of like raising daughters. And so I'm like, okay, that's our in right there. Matt Berry is playing a recent widower. He's got three adorable, mischievous, perfect daughters he's raising. But here's the twist, and here's where a lot of the comedy comes from. He and his wife were preparing to get divorced before she found out she was sick. And so because they were going to be splitting on amicable terms, and because he was sick and the kids, they didn't get divorced. So because they didn't want to mess with like the healthcare, you know, they, for very practical, logistical, caring reasons, they stayed together. And they hadn't announced to anyone in their family, to the kids or anyone, that they were going to get divorced. So he held his wife's hand through her illness, and everyone assumes that he's got to be like super heartbroken because, oh my God, you lost your wife. But for him, like, he is sad, right? Like, he lost the mother of his children. He lost a friend, realized and grieved the loss of his romantic relationship prior to all this. So this guy is like a lonely single parent who like has been wanting to get back out there for like quite a while. Here's where we enter our romantic prospect. And this is to circle back to something that we've been talking about on the show on and off. We recently did a live show where we tried to solve the problem of Drew Barrymore's love life. And I think,
oh no,
Drew Barrymore playing the love interest for Matt Berry is beautiful. But here's how we get her in there. So Matt Berry is like stressed out, going grocery shopping for the girls, whatever. And he needs to get like, I don't know, you know, he's doing single dad stuff at the grocery store, and he bumps into Drew Barrymore's character, and he is so taken with her that he's like, I have to ask this woman out. But he's so out of practice and awkward that he fumbles it. And it turns out Drew Barrymore is a grief counselor, and she hosts a support group for widowers. And through his bumbling, instead of getting a date with Drew Barrymore, he gets invited to join this support group. And so then we get these fun cast of characters because he's navigating his role and place in this support group, because he's showing up because it's his way of connecting with her. But he's sitting there. And so we get to experience a kooky chaos of Matt Berry being integrated into this community of widowers when all he really wants is for the group leader, Drew Barrymore, to fall head over heels for him. Now, here's the thing, and maybe you can clarify this for me or Anne. I couldn't find evidence if Matt Berry is actually partnered or married on the internet. It seemed inconclusive. Regardless, I think that on camera, these two would be great. Off camera, if Drew and him don't end up together romantically, she could at least learn about what a great man could be, because I think she wants a funny guy, she wants a smart guy, but I feel like Matt Berry could be a blueprint for her, so we could get her away from sort of what she's been trying in the past that hasn't been working for us or anyone else. So those are my thoughts. Kill two birds with one stone, get a great movie, and hopefully repair Drew Barrymore's love life.
He is like a good Tom Green. Like,
mm-hmm. Thank you.
Like a gentleman.
A gentleman's Tom Green.
I love that. I think you should write that immediately.
This is great. Can I make a subplot
Please.
Recommendation?
Of course.
His dad is also a widower.
Ooh.
Played by who?
Brian Cox.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Wowie, wowie, wowie.
Green light. Immediate.
Now, but his dad is going through a different thing because his dad was romantically in love with his mom at the time of her death. But he's also kind of a funny guy, and he was willing to be a wingman at the support group.
Yeah. I also wanted to add a little pitch here. Maybe the wife was a jerk. Maybe she was cheating on him. Maybe she was like, and he put on a strong face, you know, just to add more to that, like, Nicholas Sparks, like, it's okay, he's good, like, type of male trope.
Right.
Also, you could get some jokes out of that, I think.
Totally.
You know, flashbacks to a mean lady.
Yeah, just this idea of, like, I just think it's so interesting, and he would do it so well, the complexity of this, just, like, being in a situation where, like, everyone assumes you must, what you're going through. And he's like, actually, like, I'm kind of just ready to move on.
Yeah.
It just is so funny to me. And I just would love to see him do that.
I think that would be funny. Did you watch that Netflix show? Was it called The Unicorn with Walton Goggins?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little like that, but like edgier, darker. I like it.
Now, thank you all so much for your support. I will be sending pages soon. But I assume that you've had thoughts about Matt Berry as a romantic lead. We sort of touched on this a little bit earlier, but like, have you had any fantasies about what that romantic lead would look like?
You know, I have. First of all, I want to say there is no information on whether Matt Berry is partnered or married. And I worry about it like I'm his mother a little bit.
But that's wonderful.
I love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I should know, but I'm glad most people don't.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly how I feel.
And I don't. And I don't know.
Well, it does bother me because it's like, if Matt Berry is single and looking, I should be making a lot different choices in my romantic life than I currently am. And I'll say that and only that.
Yes. Okay. I also, you know, there's, and maybe this is kind of like Heathcliff-y, but there's a part of me that kind of feels like he would be a good, like rake lost cause character, kind of like a, I want to say Jane Eyre right now, but I know that that's probably not what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, kind of like a broken.
Well, see, that tracks with my original idea that I was going to pitch was a kind of down and out cabaret lounge club owner. And in walks Audra McDonald, who saves the venue and his life, and they fall in love. But that one felt a little more serious. But
okay,
I don't know.
What if it's like, okay, like again with Audra McDonald and Matt Berry,
which it works for some reason.
The dynamic is like the cutting edge. Like she's like a princess, and but for some reason she needs his help, and it's for singing. She's such a good singer, but she keeps losing singing partners because she's such a bitch. And they're like, Audra, you only have, and that character's name is Audra. And they're like, you only have 3 years left to win the singing Olympics with the partner. You know, this one might need to be workshop, but I will do
okay.
It.
Okay.
You know what we're walking into here? We're walking right into this.
Okay.
We're walking into another remake of A Star Is Born. Is what we're walking into.
Oh God.
Wow. But in the world of cabaret, it's A Star Is Born, but in the world of cabaret.
You know what? That makes sense though. Doing A Star Is Born with smaller fame is genius.
I actually wonder if anyone out there has seen or written and it hasn't been produced, like Small Town Star Is Born. I want to see it. I want it. I need it.
I mean, at some point, it is just a love story about an alcoholic. But like, I agree. I would like to see a little bit.
An alcoholic who thinks he has something to teach you.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. As they all usually do.
They all got something somehow. They think they have to offer.
We've all done comedy, right? We've met other comedians.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've all, Well, thank you so much for indulging me as I basically read you an outline for a fan fiction. But
I mean, I think you need to log on to Archive of Our Own. Yes.
Yes.
AO3. You need to log on to AO3.
Log on. You need to just go to the tab you have open, Lauren, and
Caitlin, press post. Just because you're at my house and you can see what I'm doing doesn't mean you can tell everybody.
They knew. Wow.
And we're almost out of time, but is there anything that when you logged in today, knowing we were going to talk about Matt Berry, you hope to get off your chest, hope to share? Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with that we haven't touched on?
Mainly that if you happen to know any Matt Berry fun facts, I'm always open to them. And people will sometimes DM me things about him or links to stuff. Like one fellow fan sent me like their Google Drive of like all the episodes of Toast because they weren't available in America anymore. Like the Matt Berry fandom is so warm and chill and like delightful.
Do you guys have like a cute name that you call each other? Like, are you Berry Berries or?
I call us Berries,
yeah,
but that's very unofficial. But Yeah, I mean,
oops, all berries.
If you're interested in Matt Berry, it's a very open community. It's mainly people sharing like funny clips, which is
right.
And listening to music together, which, as Lauren can attest, is a wonderful
guys. If you haven't checked out music, I'm telling you, get into music.
I had a Google, so it's called music. Just gonna Google music. After this.
Yeah, there's actually if you're really into music, there is a Matt Berry appearance in a documentary about library music. It's available on Amazon. I forget what it's called.
Okay,
but it's really fun to watch if you like ambient, like kind of 60s jazzy music.
Yeah. Well, now that I figured out music's around, I'm here to consume all of it.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much. And for everyone that fell in to stand with you today, where can they keep up with you? Where can they follow you? Where can they stand you?
I mean, unfortunately, on Twitter is the main place.
We love Twitter.
I'm like off Twitter for the next 3 days because I cannot handle this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fair.
Fair.
Yeah. But normally I'm on Twitter quite regularly at Anne V. Clark. And I'm also on Instagram, and I'm trying to get more people to follow me on Instagram, honestly, because
you got to find out what's going on with Anne.
She's a great follow. Some of my earliest interactions with Anne were on Twitter.
Yeah. Sadly enough, it's where a lot of my social interaction happened in the last 2 years, especially. So,
Oh, of course.
I'm always on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you can follow us at We Stand Social across all of the things.
And guess what? You can also check out www.westandtogether.com.
That is true. Got
a website.
It looks good, too. Check it out. Make it your homepage.
Shout out to friend of the show and former guest, Rodney Brazil, for helping us get that beautiful landing page.
We are legit. So subscribe, you know, much like JoJo Bell's, hit us with the 5-star review thanking us for our service.
And if you want to really show your support, be sure to check out Caveat's website and get tickets, because guess what, folks? We're coming back to you live. Yeah, and we're giving you plenty of warning. We're going to be at Caveat Wednesday, April 13th. And get this part. It's at 7 p.m., a respectable, reasonable hour for grown adults. So you've got no excuses. You got plenty of time to get the babysitter, ask off work, you know, seek therapy so you can leave your house and cure your agoraphobia.
Right. And for don't ever forget, you know, you're like, well, I love this idea, but I live in Hawaii. Stop whining. You live in Hawaii. Number two, get that live stream ticket.
Get that live stream ticket. You got nothing to worry about. You're in Hawaii.
Live stream on the beach while you're on a surfboard.
I'd really like to see that. It sounds lovely.
Honestly, we'll give an award for weirdest live stream location. Yeah. That is something we
we will give a gift card.
I also, can I just one real quick say that anybody else who does want to get in touch with me or follow me, I will be at your show in April. I just put it in my calendar. So if there's anyone stalking
me. Up.
Yeah.
So just walk right up to Anne and introduce yourself.
We now have two challenges going. The weirdest live stream photo, and also whoever can bring Anne the wildest Matt Berry like tithing or gift or sacrifice challenge on.
Yes, in person at the show on April 13th. Yes.
Only then.
Well, Anne, it is a delight as always. Thank you so much for getting very Berry with us. And
thank you.
I can't wait to see you at the premiere of Grieving Daddy. I don't know. Workshopping the title.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
That's perfect.
Until next time, Stan. See you.